Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by, stand by, stand by.
Join us. Impressive.
Welcome back to Black and a Half. Yes.
Season 2.
Yes, that's right. We've been on a hiatus.
Yeah, building up anticipation like Breaking Bad.
Yes. Maybe a little less suspense. But
a little less.
Meth.
We have a special guest.
Very special. Because this show just got a whole lot blacker. Who other than the very own?
Matt Black. Matt, yes. Black with us. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you. Yeah.
So now it's two blacks and a half.
Yep.
Yep, two blacks. Two and a half blacks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mad Negro on this show tonight.
You qualify, there's a lot of ways you qualify as black.
Do I? Do
you have
I
qualify? Like six ex-wives?
No. Right?
No, I guess not.
Yeah.
Only if you had six kids and no wives.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Ex-wives,
he didn't know a few of the
baby
kids.
Baby mamas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Newly married?
Newly married.
Yes. Yes. Congratulations.
And my wife is blacker than I am.
Yeah. So, she's from the Bay. She's from the hood. That's right. Vallejo.
From Oakland, right?
Vallejo.
Leo,
is that, the same thing?
Yeah, it's outside.
It's outside. It's right next to my hometown, Pinole, Hercules.
Okay. Yep. How's that going?
Really good. Yeah.
6 months?
Really good.
Now?
Yeah,
what
6 months.
Okay, you have to say that on the air, but really, how's it going? Blink twice if she can't see it. She's not here. She can't see it. So. No, it's going really good, though?
Yeah, nice, really man. Good. Yeah, really good. It's my favorite marriage so far.
Mine too. Did Is this your first time marrying someone else as a comic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So is there
because the ex-wife wasn't a comic.
Right.
Or the girlfriend.
Right.
Wait, is this the first marriage?
First marriage. What?
To a comic.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, is it the second marriage?
It's my third marriage.
Third marriage. Okay, that's not bad. That's, you know, yeah. Hey, it's all right.
Yeah. It's,
well, I guess you're
three
doing better
rule
with it.
For life.
Yeah, there you go. You're doing better with your averages, Silas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to shoot for a baker's dozen, but this one's going pretty
well.
Oh,
yeah. There you go.
But is it different being married to a comic? Like, as far as, like, humor-wise, do you kind of, like, relate more? Or is there no difference, really?
No, it's very different, yeah. Well, because, I mean, you know, being a comic, like, when you're in a relationship with someone who doesn't do comedy, they don't, like, understand, like, kind of anything that goes into it, joke,
uh-huh.
right? And so, like, things can get, like, sensitive when you start making jokes about your relationship. and that can be awkward. So being married to a comic, like, I can write whatever jokes I want. She knows, like, what's real and what's not. So it makes a huge, that part of it is a huge difference.
Yeah.
Well, I found if I just write the jokes and don't talk to her about it at all.
You know, and if she doesn't come
to
the shows,
if you don't talk about it, you know,
exactly.
There's nothing wrong, right? It doesn't hurt.
So true.
It's like Vegas.
Yep.
What they don't know.
Yeah, what they don't know.
It's always interesting, though, when your girlfriend's in the audience and then. Talking about her, she's like, "Was that shit real?"
Like, no, I don't really feel that way.
No, you know, I don't feel that way.
It was for comedy. Silly, I wouldn't.
Hilarious.
Yeah, my wife. She actually we've learned. First, I didn't think she didn't like comedy, really stand up. But I think she doesn't like bad comedy, which is good.
Fair enough.
That's a good thing. But like, because they're taking her to these shows that I'm hosting at Laughs Comedy Spot in Kirkland. Like tonight at 8 and 10. No, it's not.
Uh-huh. Not that anybody listening to this can actually go.
But
hosting at Laughs or something.
But.
Not to brag, but you know, if she's come to the comedy spot, Kirkland. She's liked the comics that are there, the headliners, who, you know, they're not, I haven't brought in any filthy ones, like really dirty ones, but I just did that on our first comic date. But
who was the dirty comic?
Yeah. Was it a Brad Break?
The first time I wasn't even doing comedy yet.
Right.
I wasn't doing comedy yet. We just started dating, and somebody actually else suggested bring her to, because we'd only been dating a month before Christmas, like maybe that. I'm like, I don't want to go all out. It doesn't last or whatever.
Right.
And somebody's like, get her tickets to some show And that way you guys can go together and have a good time, like a comedy show. Look up a comedy club. You go get a laugh. And so I was like, oh, who's playing? And I remember looking for comedy online, and I found Laughs, and I was like, I don't know who the hell these people are. What is this? I don't know. Well, and then I saw Dave Attell was coming to the Moor. And I was like, oh, I've seen him on TV. Yeah, this will be, he's funny. Yeah, I like that. First joke that came out of his mouth, I was like, oh, God, I'm in trouble.
Dave Attell.
He is so dirty.
He is.
I have no idea.
Dave Attell has gotten many a comics late. It's pretty really? Awesome. Well, at least me.
How?
By watching Dave's old porn with a girl.
Awesome. I thought you meant like he came and...
No, he was like, hey, fuck this guy over here. No.
This guy.
Hey, yeah, he's like, hey.
Have you seen that? Dave's old porn?
This guy's DTM.
Yeah.
Have you seen that show?
No.
Dave's old porn?
No,
it's like Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
3000.
And they like review.
But to porn.
Yeah, they review porn.
Really?
And
that sounds awesome.
It is. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
It's funny. I was watching it in here and feeling guilty. Like, at my house, I was like, I had free HBO, and I was like, this is funny, but if
kind of reminds you
walked in right now, right? It would look like I'm just watching some porn.
Yeah, you remember being a kid and doing that, but you had like the channel on like last channel, then you'd like leave it on something like it'd be like, oh, there's WWF, but they
still did that.
So it's like old porn, like
yeah,
Bush,
we're talking like
Bush, mustache,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, like porn when I was a kid like sucked, right? Like porn now, like everything's very
like,
well groomed, and you can actually see what's going on down
yeah.
there. But like the porn when I was growing up, like you couldn't really learn anything
exactly
from the porn
because
you couldn't see, like you don't know what's going on.
I don't know that you're learning things now from porn, like
yeah.
Well, like okay, what is it?
Well,
Adam Carolla complained
wise.
About this, like mm-hmm. why, like he's like, when did porn get violent and just nasty all the time? Like it used to, like let's just have sex instead of let's choke her out.
There's no real storylines. I mean, you're not watching it for like.
Oh, you get the wrong one.
Yeah,
there's stories.
I don't really watch a lot. Okay, I'm lying. I watch a lot. I saw a really cool parody with superheroes. It was pretty awesome, man. Like,
what was it called?
I think it was like Justice League XXX or something like that. Check it out. It's pretty cool.
I've never seen it, but there was the Star Wars that came out a few years ago. But it was actually Star. I was like, oh, I need to add to my Star Wars collection. I don't like, you know.
So you're really into the story. Like, you want to know, like, what is the pizza guy's, like, motivation for going in? Like, what is his... What drives him?
That's right, because Silas was an actor. What school did you study at?
I don't know, studied at is the word.
Gotcha.
It wasn't like a
grad.
Theater it was
major.
Yale.
Well,
Chico State, California.
Okay, good enough.
California.
Good enough.
I don't know, like, I like anything with the story. So I'm like, why would I want my porn?
Why is he treating this whore so poorly?
Turn it on. I like storytelling comics, so.
I like that she's a tasteful whore.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like to know where she
Those
came
stilettos
from.
Are respectful.
Like, yes. Right. Like, oh, you're just sitting, oh, pizza guy came. That's not classy. But if you're like a spy, you know, and oh, to get out of the situation, I'm going to have sex. That's a that's a good story.
And plausible. Yeah.
I'd be a good director, I think.
So you'd like, you'd like to see a version of like James Bond where they actually just show all of the filthy
sex
scenes.
That would be awesome.
Like that.
Yeah.
I want to see like a Quantum Leap porno. That'd be like
Quantum Leap.
Wow, that's a good premise actually.
Or like a Sliders porno where like the whole world's like
Quantum Leap was an interesting.
It was
because
wasn't
he's
it?
In he's in other people's bodies, right?
That's true.
So
oh
he could
my,
be
so
porn
he could be the girl.
He right.
Wow,
that would be awkward.
That's
he was
right.
pregnant in one.
Oh, that's right.
Like,
crazy.
Bisexual.
Yeah.
Quantum.
Yeah. Hey, Sam, I just had to talk to
Ziggy. Well, he did, like, sleep with somebody, like, every episode.
Did he?
Like, yeah. He usually, he always fell in love with somebody.
Like,
I
don't. Well, there was one where he was, like,
How did the show end?
Yeah. That's when he slept with somebody.
How did the show end up? Like, how did it end?
I always wondered that.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
He went to this cafe. Mm-hmm. There's almost one at the cafe, the final episode, and he's talking to the guy, and he realized that he always had the power within him to leap.
Oh,
like
wow.
The only thing that had kept him leaping was him.
Hmm.
And he decided there's one final thing he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he leapt back to, because he never, what was his friend's name? His best friend?
Al.
Al.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Al, yeah.
Al's, in one episode, he didn't help Al let his wife know that he was alive in Vietnam, like, because he was a POW. He mm-hmm. didn't tell his wife. Where he could have, but that wasn't part of the mission.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his first wife. And it was after that that Al became the promiscuous person, married like four more times. Because when he came back from the POW, his wife had gotten married again.
Oh, okay.
Because everyone thought he was dead.
Well, that's right. Al had a bunch of ex-wives. Okay.
Yeah. So he went.
Player.
You're like Al. Yeah. So he went back in time, went to Al. Al's wife had said, "You need to know Al's still alive."
Mm.
And so he fixed that, creating Al never having been his partner again. Or been his partner in the future, because he stayed with his wife. So he didn't have the... He changed Al's future. So Al never became part of the Quantum Leap project.
Wow.
So he... So, but he repaired Al's life. And then he decided that he was just going to keep leaping. And it ended with him, like, basically doing another leap. He wasn't ever going to go home.
Oh.
He never wanted to go home.
Oh. And then who is Ziggy? Was Ziggy just a computer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I think there was one episode where he leapt into his body, like, or he went into the future.
Oh, okay.
And so he was, like, where you met Ziggy. I thought it was, like, something you met the people, and they were actually, like Ziggy might have been a person.
What was the better show, Quantum Leap or Sliders?
I never saw Sliders.
What? No. Oh, man, you got to step your game up. Sliders was an amazing
overall show. Quantum Leap, but yeah. Sliders, like, the first two seasons. Three seasons were awesome. Yeah. Four through six.
Who's that? Who's the guy? What's the guy's name?
God, what's his name? Jerry O'Connell. Rockheimer?
Jerry O'Connell. Yeah, oh, okay.
Jerry O'Connell.
He was in Jerry Maguire, and then like the fat kid in Stand by Me.
Yeah, okay.
Is it bad that you're always known as the fat kid?
I know, right?
Not like
oh, shit, you're the fat
not
kid.
By the character
yeah,
name.
Exactly.
Oh, you
were the gay guy in. Oh, yeah, man, that was years ago.
No wonder he's in such good shape now.
Yeah,
like, he grew up being known as the fat kid from Stand By
Me. Yeah, that does a lot to your self-esteem. Probably nailing all kind of chicks now.
Maybe we could help people out, like say, tell them like, "Hey, he's the fat guy at Parlor."
Mm-hmm.
And then people are like, "Fuck, boom. I'm gonna lose weight."
Exactly.
I'm sure Sean Astin has the same problem. Like, "Oh, you're the fat kid from, or the fat guy from Lord of the Rings."
Like,
you don't
I'm
remember,
a hobbit!
You don't remember when I played the gay guy in Rudy? I
mean, yeah.
That's awesome. So, Matt, Dr. Heckle. What would you say? Dr. Heckle's more than a site, right? Is it like your alternate identity? Or?
Yeah, I guess so.
DrHeckle.com.
It's like an alter ego. I don't know. Sort of. I started the website like back in like 2005, and it was just like Dr. Heckle. And I didn't have my name associated with it or anything, so... And I felt like it gave me sort of a license to be, like, meaner and, like, you know, get away with more because it was, like, a character and not, like, me. But then when I started doing stand-up, I was like, I'm missing out on a huge opportunity to, like, cross-promote stuff here. So then that's when I kind of, like, now it's, like, my picture and, you know, like, my fan page is Matt Black, Dr. Heckle. Yeah, so now they're, like, one and the same. It's kind of I guess I'm schizophrenic or something. I don't know.
How long did you do... Like, how long were you doing Dr. Heckle before you started stand-up?
Like 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been doing it a while.
And you were living off the site for a while, right? Like,
yeah.
Making pretty good money.
I am right now.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm selling advertising. And
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, because you were having trouble getting the advertising for a little bit, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
What changed?
I'm not very good at, like, just selling... Like that, like advertising, like just approaching advertisers, like I pretty much just relied on them to come to me. And then when they stopped coming to me, I was like, well, what do I do? And so I just started reaching out and, you know, just like making connections. And then it's now I've kind of got a steady flow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I was just sort of relying on like big advertisers like Jack in the Box and Blockbuster. And
right.
Then, you know, it's like it only goes so long. They're like, okay, we've basically milked you for what we can get out of you, so we're done.
Yeah.
And now, like, there's a lot of other, like, smaller sites and stuff like that. People that even do similar things to me that maybe have a smaller following and they want to, like, promote their stuff. And so now I'm, like doing smaller kinds of ads and like, making money that way. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in that. I mean, like, as far as advertising, YouTube, all kind of stuff that people don't realize.
So do you have you don't have like an agent like that finds
no, I should,
advertisers
though,
for
I,
you? I thought there were people that did that. Like,
yeah, there should there probably are.
Because you have a lot of
I get about 100,000 hits a month now.
Nice.
So it's pretty crazy. And it's like now like when I first started, like I knew like every single new fan or follower like on Facebook or Twitter, like I knew where they were coming from. now it's there's like I'm just getting like I get like I don't know, lately it's been like between 50 and 100 like new fans like on my Facebook page.
Holy shit.
I have no idea where they're coming from. Like I probably just other people sharing pictures and stuff on Facebook, but mm-hmm. it's like I wish I knew so that I could be like, okay, how do I amplify mm-hmm. like whatever it is that's working. But it's kind of like it's like its own animal now. I feel like it's in some ways it's like a little bit out of my control.
But you put up basically pictures of stuff on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you caption them or?
Yeah, I caption them most of the time. I mean, if it's like a meme where it pretty much says all that needs to be said. Nice. But you know, I try to add my two cents and my, you know, sarcastic sort of mm-hmm. voice to it.
Right.
You know, so I try to do it. You know, I want it to be a little bit different than kind of what, you know, I want to add my personality on my stamp and my personality on top of it rather than just, you know, there's a lot of sites that just repost pictures. And so I go through, like, I try to find pictures that aren't on the other major, you know, websites, at least not yet. Usually that's funny because, like, you look at Failblog and stuff, like, most of the stuff that's up there is stuff that's already been on my website for, mm-hmm. like, a month. Because I go to, like, where, like, you know, Tumblr and a lot of places where people are first uploading those pictures.
Nice.
And so I upload them before it gets, because it's like, you know, the other big sites have, they're, like, a mm-hmm. corporate sort of thing, so it takes time for it to go through. So
yeah.
Usually those pictures are already up on my site before they get there.
Do you watermark them or?
I should. I should. But it's a lot more work.
Yeah.
True.
So, but I should do that because that would probably increase my brand recognition.
A little at Dr. Heckle.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere nasty where they can't cut it off easily.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right over the face.
Yeah.
Just ruin the picture. Right
over the face. Exactly.
Ruin the picture.
Right over all the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And so then when you decided, what made you decide to do stand-up and to do, like, mix it?
I've always loved stand-up. The first, like, stand-up special I saw was, like, Bill Cosby himself. My parents loved that and watched it over and over again. And, like, every time we'd have people – we always had guests come over because my dad was a bull rider. And so there was just people from coming through town all the time. And so every time somebody come through town, we go to the Space Needle and we go to the Seattle Waterfront and they make them watch Bill Cosby himself. So, like, I've always loved stand-up, but I was always just too shy and chicken – to do it when I was younger, just not emotionally ready. And so I didn't start till I was like 30.
Oh, okay.
Which is some old, but you know, it's like I go, you know, all the time you're like, oh man, I wish I would have started when I was younger. But at the same time, I know I wouldn't have been emotionally capable of handling it. All the, you know, the rejection of everything when you're first starting and, you know,
wait, so
it
I
happens
wanna,
on a regular basis.
When I, like,
he's
just
like,
ask,
man, it's like, what's rejection?
Yeah, no, I've never been rejected. What the fuck is now? So your dad was a bull rider?
He was.
No
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
And what? So tell us a little bit about that.
My stepdad, he was a bull rider, and my mm-hmm. mom was into cowboys and so and tight Wranglers, I guess. So he was a bull rider. Mm-hmm. Really good at it. And like 1989 was his biggest year, and
wow.
he won like 3 associations and. Has like trophy saddles and like a bazillion, you know, big shiny belt buckles with rubies and diamonds and shit.
That's awesome.
Was that his full-time job?
Yeah.
Wow.
So my summers, like when I was a kid, mm-hmm. like were spent like on the road going
wow.
from rodeo to rodeo.
Dude, that's yeah. crazy. Have you ever been on a bull or
no? No, I haven't been on a bull. No,
oh, okay.
But I did.
But
like,
you've ridden your share of cows though, haven't you?
Oh, hey.
Hey.
they do like, you know, when you're a kid, like they do calf riding and stuff like that. You can't ride bulls until you're like, you know, of age. But mm-hmm. I did that. Yeah, I was full on like, you know, redneck when I was a kid.
Wow.
Which I know you wouldn't know it to.
Yeah,
I know,
right?
Right. So they must be real proud of you.
I was a Garth Brooks fan, George Strait, George Jones, you know, yeah, Willie nice. Nelson.
Are you still?
No. I mean, actually, I do kind of like, I could listen to like the old school country, but not any of the new. Stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I can't stand it.
Taylor Swift,
like the early '90s came around, and yeah. and all like alternative rock Seattle scene, like that's, and I'm still stuck there. So,
there what about you, Silas? Where's your music taste at right now?
Jamie Lydell. I'm listening
yeah.
to him a lot,
catchy.
Like in that kind of music. I listened to him, and suddenly I was like, this is the kind of music. If you ask me what I like, it's the Jamie Lydell, Joss Stone.
Right.
For some reason, I really like these British white soul singers.
Mm.
I didn't realize that.
Like, what's her, that was a really good comment that I just made. You know, the rehab. Red-haired girl, Adele. Did you say Adele already?
No, you said Joss Stone.
I wouldn't think of Joss
Stone. She's a redhead. Yeah.
Adele? I would,
you're not an Adele?
Adele's really
I just want to cut myself when I hear her, because she's
Her
so
album's
sad.
Pretty sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Like
maybe if she had some...
Somebody hurt her pretty bad.
Yeah.
Some rocking.
She's doing all right now. She has a kid. She's married.
She got a baby.
She got money.
Right.
Shit to worry about.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess I like the little more upbeat.
Oh, okay.
A little happier.
So no Miley Cyrus, no Selena Gomez.
No.
Who was that British?
Oh Lord,
Natasha Bedingfield.
Natasha. Oh yeah,
no,
I
like
her.
I mean, I'm not all wuss, you know. I do like hip hop in general. But
I'm not all wuss. It's like 90%.
So okay, wait. Like on your Lyft rides, what do people play most of the time? Do they play their stuff or?
That's usually me. I do a nice mix of stuff like
Kids Bop.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Like the summer was
Kids
different.
Bop,
you know,
Volume 3.
Like when Blurred Lines just came out, like I was playing Blurred Lines. Superstition,
right?
Crazy.
Oh man!
Like just a nice like get people.
I used to love like hearing those Kid Bop like demos like on the commercial because they would be playing something like DMX, you know what I mean? It's like and the kids are just singing, they're like, "Get at me, dog!" It's like what? They're like, "Arf, arf!" I'm like, "Oh shit, Kids Bop Volume 3 in this."
And now I just start singing Frozen songs all the time.
I hear Frozen's amazing. Like,
it is amazing. It's awesome.
Took Sierra to
see it. Incredible. It's incredible.
So I hear it's like a story about like a girl not needing a man, right?
Well, it's more about the focus is about the two sisters.
Right.
I mean, the girl does really want this guy and she's running, but then something happens to her sister and she runs to like save her.
Oh, okay.
And
doesn't worry about the guy.
Right. I mean, but then in part of it, she then thinks she needs a guy to find true love.
Right.
And then I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but then it's true. It ends up being her sister that's really the important relationship. And it's like, so it's great because it's another Disney or.
So step in the right direction.
It's step
for
in the direction of
Disney.
It's not all just about a man saving you in the end. Because I'm like, what, Princess and the Frog? They did kiss each other, but that was another strong female character. Tangled, even though she was kind of scared and stuff, but like it was.
What about Brave? Is that that's not
Brave was great.
Brave
too.
Was great.
Brave
but
was
she
about
wasn't
her
into,
and her mommy issues.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, she didn't want a guy at all. Like that was messed up when they made the when Disney started to create new stuff for her, thinned her up.
Oh, really?
Made her thinner than the movies.
Oh,
because they won. Yeah,
they were like, she's too fat.
Brave Merida, the character. It was a Pixar.
Oh, film. I haven't seen it.
Oh,
yeah.
But then when they went to Disney, started making some stuff, and they made her a little thinner and stuff. People went nuts. Cause they're like, oh, and then they kind of backtracked, like, oh, we just want to have two different, you know, because all sizes are great. And,
yeah. Like, I remember as a kid thinking, like, some of the Disney, like, princesses were hot, right?
Oh, yeah, Ariel.
But, yeah, Ariel was hot. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's funny, because my cousin, like, he thought that, who was it? The girl from Goof Troop? Yep, right. The movie, the Goofy movie. Yep, she was kind of hot. Go back and watch
I don't think I've seen that.
Great movie.
Am I the only one in the room that wasn't attracted to cartoons? Like,
thank you. It was a great movie. Wonderful. That's all we had as kids. We didn't have pornos yet. All we had was, you remember Scramble Vision when you'd be like, oh, that's a titty. And
it's
like,
Spice Channel.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. See what happens when we get another guy on here? We're just talking about porn.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. I know. I'm so sorry. We don't get this chance. It's mostly females that we talk to.
We do.
All our female listeners are going to be like, they are just pigs this week. Season two is shit. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. How about those women rights, everybody? I'm excited. Hillary Clinton.
Go feminists.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton's going to be running, I think.
You think so?
I hope so. They're going to have a lot of people backing her, apparently. So
What year?
She's going to be like 69 years old.
She's going to be 16.
Yeah, she's going to be
old. She's going to
be
old.
She's going to be getting up there.
Yeah, but see, it's perfect because she's past menopause. You don't have to deal with no bullshit. You know what I mean?
There goes the last female listener.
Oh, sorry, ladies out there listening to this.
Yeah,
I promise to do an all-female show just for you guys.
Okay, maybe I'm just sick, but like, do you ever you see female politicians and just wonder like, what are they like in the sack? Are they just like?
I'm gonna choose not to answer that.
Are they just like freaky or
like Sarah Palin? You gotta wonder,
or
right?
Do they just go through the motions? Like,
did you know Sarah Palin hooked up with a black guy in college? Actually, basketball player Glenn Rice.
Really?
Do you know about that? Read about it.
No.
It's actually.
Oh, maybe she was for equal rights.
See, she was. She was at one point, and then all of a sudden, it's crazy how some of those Rush Limbaughs and people just get you on the wrong. Like inside, man. It's crazy.
Well, you know, I don't know, Matt. What you're saying is interesting to think about, because like I remember watching A Few Good Men, and he makes a line in there about like Jack Nicholson says something about you've never there's nothing like getting a blowjob from a superior officer, but I guess until they make a lady president, I'll never know.
I don't remember that.
He's
line,
demeaning Demi Moore in one of the scenes. Like, he's trying to.
It's sure, that wasn't question. Like G.I. Jane or something? Or
no. This was A Few Good Men. It was great. But it was like, it is like, you know, I mean, just like for what's her name, the intern, Monica Lewinsky, sleeping with Bill Clinton, I think there's got to be an allure about, hey, this is the most powerful woman on Earth right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think there would be something sexy about it.
You think she'll be having, like,
affairs? Oh, she will get some interns because of Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Oh, she's oh, we're turning around, Bill. Right now.
My only thing is, like, you think Bill will be messing around again, like the first man, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, you think he has not?
Well, I'm sure he has, but I'm just like, you know, I like Bill. I think Bill's all right.
I think I liked him too. I think just had I think he's a compulsive sexual.
Yeah. But
compulsive.
What all of them have been. Well, I guess nobody was
sex
trying to.
Adding,
yeah, well, I mean, look at John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, nobody wants to have sex with Ronald Reagan and, you know, all those. Nobody wants to have sex with
Republicans.
He was already really.
He was 70.
He was already
right?
really old.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
by
like.
The time.
But nobody wanted to have sex with Bush or Bush Sr. You know what I mean? Like.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, maybe some old chicks or something.
Except there.
Hey there, Ronnie.
He was just better about hiding it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, he probably just killed them.
I mean, we're going to go ahead and send you to Iraq.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Desert Storm is all about you, Cheryl.
I think it's probably something sexy in power. I think I'll be honest. I do think about that when I've seen the Prime Minister. Except that I'm like, oh, but she's old.
Yeah,
right.
I wouldn't mind being I wouldn't mind being the first man. I'd be acting a fool. I'd be like parties in Barbados. Or like, here's the first man again, drunk. I'd be like, yeah, let's do this.
Because like
Jay-Z hanging out.
The first lady usually takes up a cause. She's like, oh, I'm going to help fight children's diabetes.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be like, I'm going to get teenagers drunk.
Exactly. I'm going to show teenagers how to live. Let's do this. I always wanted to be on MTV Spring Break.
We're going to get the... Girls Gone Wild crew down there.
Exactly.
Following the first man.
The first man is in Scandal again.
First like, man gone it. Wild, yo.
Just show me with like my nose covered in cocaine. So it's going to be okay.
Let me ask you, Matt. If the Seahawks don't win this next weekend, will your life be ruined?
Pretty much, yeah.
Are you a huge Seahawks fan?
I am a huge Seahawks fan. Yeah, and I also lived in Denver for 5 years.
No joke.
So, yeah. And it's more of a personal thing than it is really a team thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, as far as I've been a Seahawks fan for a long time, but, my brother, he was 5 when we moved to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't really remember Seattle. Like his hometown, you know, in his head is Denver. So he's a Broncos fan.
Ah.
So this is a family feud right now.
Right.
This weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I will have to live with him talking shit forever if the Broncos win. So it's personal for me.
Yeah. Pretty much how it was for me last week, because all my family's, you know, we're all from the Bay. And so they're all Niner fans, and I'm just like, I don't even want to talk shit.
Did you taunt?
No, I didn't. Like, I'm always pretty chill about it. It was actually my uncle's birthday, and he's a huge Niners fan. He's in radio and everything. But he was like, please, Niners, just get me a win on my birthday. And a part of me just wanted to talk so much shit. And I was like, you know what? It's his birthday. Don't do it. And
did
I was
say, hey, for your present, I got you. I don't know.
Trying to think
I
of a punchline. Trying to think
oh,
of
no, I got the punchline. I don't have the setup. I'm like.
Okay. No, I was, I was going to wish him a happy birthday, but it almost felt like it would have been rubbing it in at that point when they lost.
You should have said, like, when he was eating the cake. You could have said, like, hey, be careful. Don't choke like the night.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
I hope he's not listening.
Oh,
man.
I hope he's listening.
Yeah.
Family should be listening to the show.
Very true. Very true.
Hey, but are Seahawks fans just crazy now?
Seahawks fans, I think Jay put it the best. They're becoming Raider fans. Like, no shit.
Well, I read an article on that, I think he stole that.
My wife said the same thing. She's like, this is just like when I was in Oakland. Like, these crazy Raider fans. Yeah.
Dude, it's crazy. Like, I was on stage, and I go out, and I'm like, you know, we just won the New Orleans game. I was like, how about those Seahawks, right? And everybody's like, woo. I was like, sir, why aren't you? You know, I'm looking at this one guy. I'm like, why aren't you making any noise, sir? He's like, I'm a Niners fan. People literally start getting up in his face and dancing on him and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This guy's like, I'm like, black people, sit down. They just let us in Bellevue. You can't be acting that crazy and shit. But it was wild, man.
People have taken the 12th man a little too far, I think. Oh, like, I'm from Boston, where, I mean, they are sports nuts there. But I was like, wow, this is nothing like Boston. We're not this crazy. Maybe it's because I was like, is it because you guys only have, like,
this is all we have.
You have a football team and you have a shitty soccer team.
And a shitty baseball team.
Seattle as a city hasn't won a championship since, like, 1979. Yeah. Right? So this is the first time we've had to get really excited. You know, and we're like the 19-year-old who snuck into like the party
NBA championship,
and I mean we're gonna party it up because we feel like we might not be able to get back in later. You know, so we're gonna eat it up, and I think it's great. I think it's great that we finally have something to like be excited about.
Having not grown up here though, like it makes it hard. Like it's like I'm trying to be a Seahawks fan. Now fans, stop making me.
He is the worst, though. Like, he's the worst person to watch a football game with. No. I'm sitting there with Silas, and we're watching the playoff game, right? We're watching New Orleans versus Seattle. He's like, I really hope New Orleans scores at least once. I'm like, no, motherfucker, we don't want them to score at all.
Here's the problem. I wanted it to be close because I'm like, I'm sick of the Seahawks fans' arrogance, and I want them just to be in check. I want the Seahawks to win. I just want to be a little closer, and then
out of nowhere, they score again, and they're down by eight. Right, and then Silas is like, "Oh, it's no big deal. They would have to get an onside kick, and then score again."
I tell my wife, "You know what the odds are of getting an onside kick?"
Yeah.
And then they show, "Oh, New Orleans is 2-for-2 this season on onside kicks." I'm like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Golden Tate goes down and tries to get it, and it bounces off his chest, and New Orleans picks up the ball.
I'm like,
"Get the fuck out of here!"
Oh shit, man! He's
and
gonna
I like
kill
part
me.
Of me was just like, "Get the fuck out, Silas! Get out of my house!" But it was just like, dude, it was so bad, and then. You know, it's funny because everybody says we haven't won a championship since 1979, right?
Uh-huh.
But the Seattle Storm just like won. Like, nobody gives any credit.
We mean real sports.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, it was so bad. I was, so the Seattle Storm, they were actually in the audience one night. And I was like, give it up for the Seattle Storm. And everybody's just like, I'm like, this is the only championship team we got. And everybody was like, you're right. So bad.
Wow.
So bad.
I always
forget
about the Storm.
Right? Everybody does.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
They fought so long for a WNBA.
You're complaining about, you know, you see your other cities, whatever, complaining about Seattle fans. Okay, but I lived in Denver. I lived in Denver when they won their two Super Bowls, and like before that, I got to tell you, I think Denver fans are way worse. Even as crazy as Seattle fans have been, I think Denver fans are way worse. They are nuts, and like. They worship John Elway like he's a god.
I hate John Elway.
And it was John Elway season, not Broncos season. John Elway season all year long, off season. And they had the Rockies. They brought in the Avalanche.
Right.
Like, but all you heard about was John Elway and the Broncos.
I almost think it's just because Peyton Manning's such a respectable guy that it seems like Denver's the good guys now. And with Sherman being crazy after the game, I think that, you know, people are like labeling us the bad guys. But – in all fairness, I mean, if somebody ran up to you and you made one of the biggest plays of probably your career, wouldn't you be like, I mean, I would be WWF status in that bitch. I'd be like, you're never going to see this again, brother, you know?
I don't know. As a professional, I think you should have held it in. There's not many other players I don't think that wouldn't have been able to, like, all right, I got this. Like, cool. I'm going to be classy here.
I'm sure Russell Wilson would have been, but, you know, he's been in that situation. People forget that Sherman's a kid from Compton, you know, and... Like, honestly, a few minutes after the game, give them at least – they're, like, supposed to give you 15 minutes to kind of cool down after the game. But think about this, okay? There's somebody on the line who's just talking shit to you the whole game, like, hey, you motherfucker, I'm going to get this catch on you.
Game.
I know it's part of the game, but so, like, you're hyped up after the game. Right. This person's been talking shit to you the whole game, you know what I mean? It's probably like, you dirty African-American, you know, in other words, right, and shit. And then all of a sudden, he, like, blocks the ball, and then he's like,
there's a lot of imagination going on.
Dude,
here,
it's that bad. Like, I had friends who, like, played,
but
like, college football.
You don't know that was happening between the two?
I'm sure it did, because you heard about the off-season stuff, right, with Crabtree.
I didn't hear about what actually happened.
They were, like, a fundraiser.
Yeah, a fundraiser, and Crabtree was just talking shit to him the whole time, and he was like, all right, I get it, you know, whatever, you're going to make my life live in hell.
Well, you know, sure. I mean, Sherman, this wasn't the first time Sherman has said anything that people are like, a little arrogant, buddy.
Like, I think the guys
what?
Like
it's
that.
Not?
I think
it's
guys
the first
like
time?
That.
First time?
Honestly, though, it, like, if you think about this, it's probably such a calculated step to becoming like a superstar. Look at Deion Sanders. He used to talk all the time. Yeah. This is going to open up so many different doors for Sherman, because not only will he probably be a sports commentator after his, you know, career's over now because of this, but you know what I mean? The guy's pretty articulate. You got to be pretty smart to go to Stanford.
Right.
You know? So,
so it was about him, though.
Well, yeah, he did apologize that he took away from the team. But
he would have, I mean, if he'd done that on the, if the game wasn't over, he would have got, you know,
what?
A technical foul, something.
Oh, like a flag?
Yeah. Well, unsportsmanlike.
Well, he did get a flag.
He got the flag.
For the choke thing, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
He got a flag and then fined like
$7,800. Oh, I thought it was for the smack in the ass.
No, it was for the choke sign.
You heard what, I mean, it was sarcastic, but he walked up to him after the, and he was like, good game when he slapped him on the ass. And then that's when Crabtree shoved him in the face.
You know, I don't know. Like, somebody said, oh, no, it's okay, because that's what they do. I was like, I don't know. If that just happened, I wouldn't take that smack in the ass as a good game.
Yeah, yeah. It was supposed, it was sarcastic, of course.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I like it. I like that there's somebody as brash and instigating shit. Forever. Like, even when the Seahawks weren't even that bad, we were just mediocre.
Yeah.
Everybody just talks mad shit about the Seahawks.
Exactly.
Always. For years, for decades. Even when we went to the Super Bowl, like, in 2005. Like, just, and so.
They were
that,
like, we're not that good.
So,
like,
I don't really, care if they still hate us, but they still have to respect how good, how
I mean,
good the team is.
They were talking shit. I don't think, the Seahawks probably weren't on the radar of anybody.
No, trust me. Like, even, they said the NFC was, like, the worst. You know, like.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They were like, this is the, that's the. That's why they said we got.
Is it talking shit if they were bad?
Well, I mean,
the
NFC wasn't that strong,
right?
You know, back in the Mariners suck, but we're trying.
Hey, you know what?
The Mariners are terrible.
Do you remember
a
man named Bill Buckner?
I know.
Red Sox player. Ball went through his legs.
Oh.
Red Sox, like, kind of pretty much heard about that for, like, 15 years.
Right.
After. So, as a Red Sox fan, I have no pity. Mm-hmm. On anybody, like, oh, people talk shit about my team.
You know, it's so funny, though, but, like, I don't see why people are getting so uptight about football. It's a fucking juggernaut sport, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's people knocking each other out. It would be like going to the UFC fight, right? Knocking somebody out and then being like, oh, you know, I just want to really thank God for letting me knock this guy out and put him in the hospital.
I'll say NBA, when the attitude era started in NBA, that kind of was a turnoff to enjoying it for me. Like,
yeah.
I enjoyed shit talking that Larry Bird would do and Magic Johnson, but they were subtle.
So you're saying the attitude era should only stay in WWF?
That's right.
All right.
Exactly.
So were you a WWF or WCW fan?
Well, I started watching Hulk Hogan. So I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. But then my uncle was really into
WCW. Right.
And my grandpa, they used to watch the old World Championship Wrestling before it was WCW.
Right.
And so I got into Ric Flair and watching them and seeing them cross over. But I used to like I bought Pro Wrestling Illustrated every month.
Oh, that
so
was
I could read about the other network, other regions going on. I'm like, who's this guy? Oh my gosh.
And yeah.
Like, I was excited to see the ranking for the, there used to be a tag team championship or a tag team tournament called the, I don't know if it was called the Crockett Cup, but it was like this big fundraiser kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was every year, and like it was like 25 tag teams were ranked, you know, and they were all ranked. And I remember it being a big deal when they would come out, and Pro Wrestling Illustrated would help decide who the ranking was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was huge when the Road Warriors were put as number one over the champions.
Right.
Of the place, and the World Championship Wrestling had a fit about it.
Crazy.
They're like, you can't rank your champions left.
Are you a wrestling fan?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
When I was a teenager, I watched wrestling for like a little while, like 6 months, just like because I had a crush on this girl.
Who was obsessed with it?
And no, her brother liked it. So
I
pretended to like it and hang out with her brother so that I could go over to their house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've actually got a wrestling legend coming to the parlor on, I think, what, February something?
16th? Yeah.
Mick Foley. So he'll be there. So that should be fun. I don't know if I'm going to work with him or.
I thought you said it was just going
to
be a.
Well, I mean, one of us has to bring him up on stage. So, but I'm sure he'll tell hours of stories. But
I used to watch. I knew about him before he got the
WWE. Yeah, I remember the hardcore matches. These guys would, like, hit themselves in the head with staple guns and, like, fall on thumbtacks.
The Texas League that used to go on, I forget what the
barbed wire matches.
I forget what the the Federation was, but
not like ECW.
Oh yeah, they used to have barbed wire matches where it was barbed wire ropes around the ring. Yeah. Like these guys would get so Abdullah the Butcher. You're just like, you just see them covered in blood. These are nasty matches.
Dude, it was gross.
This is a pre-AIDS era.
Yeah. Exactly. You've been tested, right? I'm good. Might have chlamydia, but I don't have fucking. He's like, all right, Cactus Jack. Thank
you. Yeah. That's some nasty.
I could never get into it. I wrestled when I was younger, you know, like actual, you know, where you're singlet and you're on a rubber mat.
You know, it's interesting though, because it's like, I think for guys like us growing up, I think it was more about the storyline. You know, it was like a guy soap opera. You know, that's all it was. It wasn't even. I enjoyed the matches because there's all this hype building up to like WrestleMania, and you're like, oh, here goes Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. You know, who wants to?
Well, so. And now, I mean, the reason I actually don't watch it now is because the story is kind of lacking and it's kind of quick, and it's like, oh, there's not any buildup. It's just this quick.
You know, my thing.
It's not. Yeah. It's just, there's no story going on.
Like your
really.
Porns, huh?
That's right.
So, you know, it's crazy to me though.
You can have your porn. I'll have my.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Have my good stories.
Midsummer Night's Cream.
My like the one thing that I really realized was like I wanted to believe in wrestling so bad. I thought it was so real. Like at the age of like 12 and 13, I was like, they've got to be like hitting each other, you know, with real fists. And then I saw Ultimate Fighting. I'm like, these guys are getting knocked out one punch. I was like, there's no way wrestling can be real. This dude just got hit with the chair and he got back up. And these guys are getting hit with one punch in there. Yeah. Crazy.
Wrestling is tougher, man. The wrestlers are
right,
tougher.
Exactly.
Yeah,
tough
just,
to get
yeah,
you can't
super.
Just come
yeah.
in.
Then you see Brock Lesnar come into like UFC and fighting people. Yeah, it's crazy. He was huge.
And he's like, fuck, they didn't pull their punch.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
The hell?
He was getting knocked out. And he was like, I'm retiring.
Ultimate Fighting kind of like took away, like, I mean, boxing's kind of like.
Yeah, boxing's kind of.
Almost non-existent anymore. Like because like the UFC
boxing seems like a gentle sport now. I can't watch all the UFC. I'm just like, ooh. Oh, ow.
After I saw Anderson Silva's leg break, I was like,
I can't see any of
them. Yeah, and he wants to come back and fight again. Like he's gonna get like a metal rod. I don't know if that's fair. You know what I mean? That'd be like Wolverine fighting somebody. You know what I mean? Like you can't kick people with a metal rod.
At his age, though, it's not gonna heal all the way. People are just gonna go for the leg. Yeah.
Dude, he's like about to be 40 years old. So.
I guess that's not old. That's not old.
Right. Yeah, what are you turning 40? Friday?
No. Yeah.
Next week, Thursday.
Next week, Thursday. That's right.
It's almost over.
Fuck. And you're on a new diet. Ugh.
It's not a diet.
It's like.
You're on a new diet?
You can't eat anything.
I can't.
He's gassy.
I have to get some testing. So
gassy?
I need a bland diet to see if it's all, if it's because of what I'm eating.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Like, that's just, I don't know if it's like the same for you, Matt, but like you hit 30 and your metabolism is
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I'm starting to pocket a little fat around my gut and shit. I gotta get the six pack going again. You're too lazy to work out. There's so much other shit going on in your life. You know what I mean? It's like I got this comedy show, I got work. It's like I could go to the gym, but let me just do these push ups.
I got a relationship to nurture.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna go to a comedy show instead.
Got some old porn to watch.
You're right. I'm trying to enhance my relationship. Trying to try what these nasty people are trying. Oh god, so, I hope my mom's not listening.
Why?
Well, she doesn't care. It's so funny. Did you guys notice that when you guys became comedians, you could say like anything around family get-togethers now?
Well,
people don't really get as mad at you as when
I don't really get together with my family, but
yeah,
my mom she was like wanted to see a video of. I'm like, I don't know if you'll be able to handle it, Mom.
Yeah.
She's like, I can handle it. I sent her a video. She's like, yeah, I'm okay with I didn't know you knew that stuff.
Oh yeah. Like, oh god.
Like, and my comedy is gentle. So imagine.
It's so funny. Like this Christmas, I went home and my mom was saying dirtier things. I was like, "Where did you learn that?" I was like, "That was
not supposed to say that."
I was supposed to say that, Mom. But it's so funny because it's like my cousin. She was like, "Does he have to swear so much in his set?" I don't really swear that much, you know. Like when I first started, I swore a lot, but it's a lot less now.
Have you been ordered to by the parlor? They said you need to tone it down.
Not really. I mean, probably a little bit.
Do you say motherfucker?
I don't say motherfucker on stage.
What do you say? You say fuck a lot.
I say bitch. No. I say it.
You just say bitch. I've heard
it. Yeah. Which, I don't know. My favorite curse word is motherfucker. Like that motherfucker is. And I'm talking about a 7-year-old. I'm like, that motherfucker is irritating.
Have you ever been, have you felt censored working for a club?
Of course.
You can't. say words particular or just whole like
yeah that's I think that's the hardest thing about working at a club, even like you, for you know, like this is pretty cool if you think about it, like we if this table right here is probably the most dominant force in on the east side, side on the east side. Side, like you've got, you know, you've got let's see, you've got Laughs.
Well, I you've don't got Laughs.
Well, I mean, this weekend we're the pretty this we're weekend, dominant. Yeah, so you're hosting Laughs. Well, I'm hosting the Parlor, and then you've got what you call it, Valhalla.
That's not there anymore.
Yeah. Oh,
no, I stopped doing it. I it's a long story. I got you know, the show's going great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we were packing it out every week, but yeah. The owners of the place just didn't care.
Yeah,
and they didn't want to like pay for it, and it's like I've got to pay a comedian somehow. And yeah. You know, it was to the point where. Like I was paying out of my own pocket.
No, oh, yeah.
They didn't want to pay anymore, so you know, I talked to a few people and seen if they were interested in taking it over. And Patrick Higgins took it over and did it for about 2 weeks, and he was like, "Fuck this,
yeah, yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
doing it anymore." I pretty much dedicated all my life to that show and promoting it, and I worked really hard to get people in there.
Dude, you had it great in there.
But the owners didn't understand the value of the money.
Yeah, because they were like washing dishes during the middle of it. And
yeah,
like...
and they weren't, they wouldn't, like, they, here you have an opportunity where you've got, you know, 50, 60 people,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we were at the fullest, like, to sell drinks. Like, what are you doing? They just sat behind the bar.
Yeah.
And it's like, people are going to sit there and watch the comedy show. They're not going to get up in the middle of it. And,
exactly.
You
know,
right.
You got to go out to them. And mm-hmm. they just wouldn't do it. They just didn't care. They didn't want to have an extra server there. And it was just like, so people are coming away.
So short-sighted.
And not only that, like, it was, you know, the owners is like, mm-hmm. you know, this lady that just a really bad customer service.
Yeah.
Anytime you can get 60 people in, it's your chance to show them, hey, why should you come back
right.
on a different
it
night?
It is so funny exactly. to me, like, when you think about that, because it's like, I always think it's interesting with the Dylan Avila thing. When he quit and those people came to you and you were like, I'm not going to go behind Dylan's back and do that. But, you know, like, they don't realize what they have in front of them. You know, mm-hmm. that's another string of revenue. But, you know, now once they don't have that business, they're like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? Because
yeah, suddenly
it's clearly
realize.
Not packing
where,
here anymore.
Where was that?
Well, that was the, what was the place?
It was in Renton. It was called
Burnett's.
Burnett's, yeah, yeah.
Well, they didn't come to me. Yeah. They went to my Northwest Comedy Network site and messaged me through there.
Oh,
looking for some place that seemed to have booking. Uh-huh. See, I did have a thing about booking. If you're interested in booking, contact mm-hmm. us. And I was kind of like, so they messaged me, and then I just sent it over to Dylan. I said, hey, so... here, check out this message that I got sent.
Uh-huh.
I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
It was somebody else. It wasn't actually them. It was someone else there that was like,
but it was,
talking
they were
to
trying
them. Like,
to.
Yeah, we'll get it back. They just, I was like, look, he's going to, I'll have the same rule. If I come there, it's going to be the same comics anyway.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Gonna, and it'll be the, you know, same rules. We don't want you talking or playing pool during our sets, you know.
We are demanding entertainment.
We are, but think about how, like, annoying it was even when you were headlining that show and then people are in the back and they're like, oh, we're having a party back here, but we're doing comedy over on this side.
Yeah, well, but I do, no, it's annoying, but I do also, because right now I have two shows at restaurants.
Right.
And I feel bad every show because I'm like, I'm about to interrupt your good time right now. I'm going to tell you to shut up. Oh, you haven't seen them in 10 years, and you got together for dinner here? Oh,
yeah, we're gonna rape you with comedy.
You know what?
Oh my god!
Yeah, I'm gonna do a comedy show here.
That was the worst though. Like this week, like oh my god! Like when they just so the feature, I'm not gonna say his name. He was up on stage, and this guy was like, "You suck. You're not funny." And the feature is just like, "Well, that's gonna make me want to try to make you like me even more." And, and he goes in, and he's just, "Oh man, it was there was literally like four people in the crowd."
Where was this at?
This was at. 13?
There was more than four people in the crowd.
Okay, there was 10.
Yeah.
Oh, 13 coins.
13
yeah.
coins.
That's
but
a
there's
tough
10.
One, yeah.
There's 10 people, but they're like scattered. So there's like maybe six at the bar, and then there's three in the middle, and then like there was like one or two in the back.
Yeah.
And they just, I don't know, it was so interesting. They did not come to life.
You don't, it's weird because one of them, they found out that, oh, this is the comedy show. I want to sit in here because they wanted to see the comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
But then if somebody just, you know, decides they don't like it or they don't connect with the person and you're a little drunk, you feel like you can talk.
Yeah.
Talk.
When it's a smaller crowd, you definitely, it seems like people, it takes less drinks to think they have a right to just.
Yeah, because it's just an intimate conversation at that point.
Right. Well, and it's, and when you have a small crowd like that, like just, I mean, you pretty much just have to talk to them.
Yeah.
Like. Be going into your material,
it's not
gonna.
Yeah,
four people,
yeah. Just doing your material straight isn't gonna work at that point because they're just like you're not even talking to us. I mean, you could still do your material, but you got to talk to them.
I don't like to talk to people. Oh, well, I'm like, oh, you're not, especially if you're not even here for comedy.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? Like,
I do it the
I don't like laugh. Doing a lot of the, like, insult stuff, but this, that's all they wanted was, like, the shock and awe. Like, they just want those jokes. And I was like, oh, you guys are going to make me do this shit, you know? And so I'm, like, shitting on this person and this and that.
I guess the difference for me, like, at a comedy club, because, like, I'll talk to them then, but I'm like, they came here to laugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know comedy isn't secondary to what their intention was for the night.
Right.
So, but I feel bad at a restaurant so much like, ah, you don't even want me here.
Yeah.
So if I talk, it's going to become a therapy session if I start talking to them for me.
Well, that's all it was.
Like, why am I here? I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
It's so funny to like, okay, so like you'll ride like a wave. You know how it is. You ride a wave of like 50, 60 good shows in a row, right? And then you go into those bar gigs, and then it's like you're in your mind, you're like, I do great every night. I'm going to crush the shit out of this show. Then you go in, and it's like three laughs. Then, like, the course of, like, 30 minutes, you're like, God, what am I doing with my life? You're like, I just want to quit this.
But you went to Montana recently.
I went to Montana.
Did they, was the crowd there for comedy?
Oh, so there was only, like, three people in the audience, right? And then the guy's like, I'm sorry, man. The show just has been losing steam. He's like, I'm going to go right across the street and grab some people from the bar, right? So he grabs all these people. So, like, 20 other people come over. It's not bad. I get up on stage, but there's this one guy, and his name is Guy. He has a ponytail beard. He has a huge gut, right? And he's like, he's talking to me before. He's like, yeah, brother, you know, I'm up here from, you know, for my kids. I'm originally from Seattle, but I lived in California. Go Niners. And I was like, here, oh, it's going to be this kind of shit, right? So I get up on stage, and literally he's heckling the whole time. So I just shitted on him the whole time. He was sitting next to a teddy bear in the audience, and I just kept calling him level 3 sex offender. And, like, and the whole crowd is loving it. And he was like, come on, brother, you're like ripping into me. And then he was trying to be funny, you know, and he's just yelling out stuff during the middle of the set. And I just started shitting on his gut, you know what I mean? And I was like, you look pregnant, motherfucker, and all this. It was pretty bad. But then he followed us from like bar to bar, right? And it was just like,
bar to bar, like. To antagonize you?
No, or? Just to, like, try to hang out, because there were some girls that were, like, kind of following, like, this crowd, and they were with these this married couple. So, like, they're buying us drinks. The cops come through a few bars and stuff, you know what I mean? And I think it was just because I was the only black person. Like,
that's when the cop came?
Yeah, yeah, I swear to God. There were three of them that just, like, walked through the bar, and, like, I picture that 911 call going, like, one of two ways, right? Number one, it's like, oh, my God, there's a black guy here who's going to rob us. Or number two, it was like, holy shit, there's one in town. You have to see him. You'll never believe it. It was a fucking leprechaun or some shit. I was like, get the fuck out of here. But, yeah, me and Mitch were like, Mitch was on his fucking game that night. He was having fun, man. He was karaoke, and he was singing fucking Miley Cyrus drunk at a, like, karaoke bar.
He loves Miley Cyrus.
He does,
man. He loves karaoke.
Yeah, oh, he does, yeah. He and then, you know, Mitch has that one joke that he does about my pussy tastes like Pepsi Cola. And he kept singing this in the car. I was like, this is ridiculous. But yeah, it was fun, man. If anyway, I think it's Chris Moran. He books that, and it's just such a great.
You're like, hey, there's three people.
There. I know, yeah.
Tom and Chris Moran, get out there.
Yeah, no, Montana, man, it's fun. It was like they had a huge condo that they put us in. It was like legit, like rock star status. People are following you around. It's probably a little bit easier if you're white and you go out there, but like, you know what I mean?
Why'd you look at me when you said
that?
Well,
I don't know, just, you know, you're half. But like, it was crazy. This like half Native American, half white girl grabbed my face when I walked in. She was like, oh my God, you're gorgeous. She was like, you're dark just like me. I love you. I was like, why the fuck are you grabbing my face? It's so crazy.
I mean, I'm clearly not going to be able to, it's not like I can go hit the road for 2 months or something.
Yeah.
But like just going on a weekend to, I went to Idaho and then Oregon. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to find someone to come with me next time.
Oh, this it's way better
boring.
Than here.
Like, 8 hours. I mean, it was a nice listen to Aisha Tyler. You know, I listened to her book, by the way.
It's kind of cool.
Self-inflicted Wounds. Check it out, everybody.
It's kind of cool doing a podcast in the car, just talking about random shit, you know?
What, just me?
Well, I mean, like, when you have somebody
myself?
Else in the car.
Oh, yeah. But, I was just like, I was like, wow, I couldn't imagine doing this every week just by myself.
Pretty bad.
Like, at the hotel, just like. Like, okay, I gotta iron my clothes, I guess, and I guess I'll put on a movie. But
so much better, like,
to do.
That's the thing is, can you imagine if, like, not only once you get to that point, but, like, once you start flying to places and people are like, hey, we're gonna put you in a hotel, we're flying you out, we're taking care of this.
Well, then I'll have bitches to hang out.
You're right, exactly. It's like, hey, hoes, thank you.
I'm with like 70-year-olds in Idaho, like in a theater. I'm not, we're not hanging.
You're right.
Get some Sugar Mama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we talk about current events before we go?
Current events?
Sochi Olympics coming up. You know they won't allow gay people to talk to children during the hey, chase your dreams. You're going to jail. Did we know?
When it came out first in the law?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought it was. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, Olympics are coming up when in February?
Yes, February. That's after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Black History Month.
I don't know.
Yep.
We're all about the Winter Olympics.
Exactly right.
Black culture.
The black
culture is like, oh, thank God.
Thank God. God. Oh man. Yeah.
Let's celebrate the black culture with the Winter Olympics.
Winter.
And we have
Russia.
The Jamaican bobsled team, which has made it. I think they're in the Olympics.
It's you know what? That's progress, right?
It is.
Isn't that progress? Like we've gone to a point that we're going to Russia, and it isn't a big deal about the black people that might be there.
Yep.
It's the gays.
Exactly.
That's progress.
That is progress.
Yeah, black people are no longer.
I
haven't
heard about that.
Huh?
I didn't know.
You didn't know about the gay?
No.
Oh, they passed a law in Russia that
you can't
promote gay lifestyle to children. But promoting also includes like kissing in front of a child or maybe holding hands.
Or exposing your butthole.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
Well,
whatever
that,
gay
think,
people do all the time, you know.
I think the butthole thing was probably there before.
Right.
I'm just guessing that falls under a different law.
So figure skating is out this year.
Oh, yeah.
Only.
I think figure skating itself promotes gay culture.
Gay culture.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, I was watching a documentary, I think it was Real Sports on HBO, but they were showing how much poverty is in those countries. You know, it is in Russia. Like, they're showing these, like, slums, and then you see them spending millions upon millions of dollars on this, like, Winter Olympics because there's actually not even snow that, like, falls out where they're doing it. They had to actually bring in snow. It was the wildest shit. So I suggest you do your research. I don't know. I almost feel like boycotting the Winter Olympics this year. Not that black people were going to watch it anyways, but, you know.
I probably
like,
wait, you're going to boycott it? Why?
I probably boycott it just inadvertently because I don't care.
Like, oh, damn, it's on? Yeah. Not like I even really watch the regular Olympics that much, you know?
It's like, I've been boycotting Big Bang Theory. I just don't care if it exists or not.
Crazy.
When does it start? Do you know when it starts?
Let's take a look.
Good airtime.
Yeah. While you guys are talking about something else, I'll research it.
My wife loves the Winter Olympics, though. She loves
her
the
favorite
Olympics
event?
In general. I don't pay attention enough to. That was 4 years ago. Last time I knew. I barely knew her then.
Okay.
I was just trying to get.
So this
her
is
in
a
bed.
Whole new experience. Like this is a whole
married
new like
with
level.
The Olympics, yeah.
Level of marriage. Like
I guess it was the Summer Olympics maybe that I TiVo'd for her, and that was like one of the things that was like. This is
that
a great
was an
guy.
Anniversary present or something.
No,
Friday,
she was just
Friday
so
February 7th.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you know what? You know what actually made the Winter Olympics popular? Did you know this? It was the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan
scandal.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
that
I remember
actually
that.
Hit.
Like 92. So
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Did you just read that on Wikipedia?
No.
You know what made the Winter Olympics?
No, I saw that on 30 for 30 with Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan. Shit
it made it
crazy.
A big deal for the U.S.
Yeah.
I think before that.
Before that, it was just, you know.
Oh, it's what other countries do.
I actually do like watching our hockey team.
Do you like hockey?
I do.
Why?
I don't know. Something crazy about it. Just like it's fast paced.
I like white people beating each other up.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know? Shit, it's crazy. Like they got like a few black players in the NHL now.
Really?
So, it's crazy.
I think hockey's a fun sport. I can't really get into it because we don't have a team. I think if Seattle had a, you know, an NHL team, like I'd totally be.
They're working on it, aren't
like,
they?
Yeah, how does that. Oh, they're icing right now. That's,
yeah.
How dare they? I don't even know what that means. Like, oh, we got a power play and something.
Yeah.
That guy's bigger. I don't know
exactly
how it works exactly.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely become more popular if we do get the basketball team and the hockey team here. So
basketball team. So
if we
cute.
Ever do.
So cute.
Yeah, we might.
It's pretty funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, like, I'm a Sonics fan. It's like, that's an imaginary team.
Yeah.
Like, how could you be a fan? It's like loving the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Chris
like.
Basketball was my sport, like, growing up. So, like,
yeah.
I was a huge Sonics fan. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was on my school paper
so you should
in
still
junior
be a
high.
Fan of the Thunder.
And, like, they picked, like, I got to be one of the people that went down to watch the Sonics practice.
No
and
shit.
We got to interview, like, Gary Payton and
that's awesome.
Rich King and meet George Karl. It was,
wow.
It was
see,
cool.
I get it back when people weren't so easily traded and free agency when people were like, they became part of a community. because they were stuck in this town for 10 years
yeah.
once they signed for something, right?
True.
But, I mean, teams change so quick now. Like, yeah, unless yeah, they put the yeah. money behind the guy to make, you're going to be our marquee guy and put all this money behind you. It's so weird to me that I have this, like, oh, I'm such a huge, I'm a fan of this entity that doesn't really, like, that's not made up of anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying. Because, like, yeah, I think it when there's so many trades and, like, players is changing yeah. teams all the time. Like, at least in football, like, it's a lot more limited. Like, there's not huge moves that go on generally.
They die before
basketball, it just seems like it escalated. Like, in the 90s, like, it just escalated oh. more and more. Like, where players weren't even playing together very long. You know, you didn't yeah. see, like, even still, like, you see teams win championships and, like, they don't stay together. It's like, oh, they just go to another yeah. team. And I don't understand, like, the whole mentality. Like, because mm-hmm. you, I mean, when I played basketball, it was a whole thing. Like, oh, you need to know your teammates and their, you exactly. know, their nuances. And you play better when you know each other and yeah. play together over a long period of time. Because
that Bulls team stayed together forever, it seemed like.
You mm-hmm. know, or the stuff. Lakers, the James Worthy, Magic Johnson, Kareem yeah. like, would they have yeah. dominated like they did had they just been together, like, a 1 year?
Yeah.
Well, like, I think that was the strength of the Sonics in the 90s. You know, when you exactly. had Sean Kemp and Detlef Schrempf and Hersey mm-hmm. Hawkins and mm-hmm. Gary Payton and Nate McMillan. And,
yeah.
And, I mean, like, they all played together for a long time. And, mm-hmm. like, they didn't have, like, a big superstar. They just exactly. were a great team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's, yeah, I definitely think the team's gone out of,
yeah.
like, team mentality has gone out of the NBA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Michael Jordan wasn't around, they would have won that championship, I swear to God.
yeah.
yeah.
They would have?
Probably. I think so. I think, you know, Scottie Pippen's great, but it's when you have somebody like Michael Jordan, I mean, that's like having.
Oh, they wouldn't have won it without him.
Yeah, like, I mean.
Do you think if he'd gone to any team, he would have won?
Probably. They would have built a franchise around him. Michael Jordan was probably one of those players that could just pick up and, you know, just go. Just be awesome. So, I mean, but I think he was older by the time he went to the Wizards, you know, and he couldn't do yeah. shit.
Yeah, when he'd been out, you know,
exactly. a
couple of years and.
Yeah, tried to come yeah. back again. So.
Was that a, what do you think? Was that a mistake?
Coming back?
To ever come back?
You know, it's tough because I think in every, almost in every aspect of life other than just regular work. I mean, you've got Jay-Z retired. Right, he was like, I'm out. And he was like, I'm done. No more music. Then he comes back and he's doing music. You know what I mean? He became the CEO of Def Jam, whatever. Came back. Then you've got Michael Jordan. You know, he was like, I'm gonna go play baseball. You know, I'm done with basketball. Comes back. You know, wins more championships. Then he retires again. I don't know. I think even with comics, you see these comedians that are just like, oh, I'm done. I'm gonna go on the road. And then all of a sudden, you see them come back out of retirement. You know, Eddie Murphy contemplates it all the time. So. I don't know.
I think it's funny to retire. They're still kind of they're in the entertainment business.
Exactly. You're always. Stopped. Yeah.
Well, there's certain things. Like, okay, like you bring up Jay-Z retiring. Like,
yeah.
You know, he said he was retiring. There's no way he was going to stay away from music.
Exactly.
So I don't understand why. It's the same thing with like Garth Brooks, like
right.
retiring. Like, you know he's going to come back and play music exactly. at some point.
Right.
Like,
even if
he
can't say help, right?
Just say you're going
to
take a break.
Yeah. Even if it is Chris Gaines, he's coming back to do another fucking album. Yeah. Great. Love it.
Chris Gaines.
I'm going to retire.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to come back next week.
Exactly. Straight out of retirement.
I'm going to do that laugh tonight.
Right.
This is my last show. Good night.
Drop the mic. Come back on the second show.
Hey, Dave. Can I get a next week? Can I get a...
Exactly.
No, actually, what you were saying about dominating the East Side earlier, but that was a cool thing we were talking about. Oh, we should have had it happen Black History Month. I'll try to get one.
Wait, what?
A gig over there. We were talking the other day about over text about it's kind of cool that two black males are both hosting over at the two like premier comedy clubs on the East Side.
Oh yeah.
Like on one weekend in predominantly white audiences.
Are you hosting all the time at the Parlor now?
Jay's gone in after this month. So yeah,
awesome.
So
I guess congratulations.
Thank you.
But I mean, just this weekend because I'm only on, you know, occasionally.
Yeah.
But it was just like this weekend. It's like these are all white audiences, and you got two black male comedian comics over here. You know,
black comedian comics.
Black comedian comics. It's like better than a black dramatic comic.
Yeah.
We got some black comedic comics.
Exactly. Not just comedians, but we got some black comedic comics in this bitch. But no, it is. I feel like it's a big milestone, especially in, you know, Kirkland and Bellevue. I mean, you know, it's weird though. Even at the Parlor, there's so many like black wait staff now. I'm like, oh shit, we are taking over this bitch. It's crazy.
I feel like we got Jack Ballard hosting it Underground that weekend. Probably been great.
Probably, I know,
we'll
right?
Work it out.
Yeah.
I should send a letter to all the club owners. Yeah. Like, look, it's Black History Month. Give
exactly.
us something.
Yeah, where's Tony Daniel at?
Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah. TCC, step
who's
up.
Who's your black person hosting this week?
All these black people.
Exactly. I don't think I've seen Ralph Porter host over there.
Come on. So. Get black people everywhere. Just for the month of February.
Exactly.
So right. It's a short
it's
month.
Only, yeah.
Just for February.
Yeah, it's only like four. Oh, well, barely. We get barely four. Do we have leap year this year? No.
No.
Okay. All right. Well.
No.
Yeah, no.
Wait.
No. Wait. No.
No.
16.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's every. Well.
America.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the whole world does that. Go Hawks. Hey, so we got a you have a show coming up. You do? I'm hosting
yes.
it.
Oh yeah, yeah, the cancer benefit show at Everett Historic Theater. Yes.
Stand up against cancer. March 1st. Everett Historic Theater.
Cool. Yeah, there was a girl who was talking to me about that. She had emailed me. She was like, I'm a friend of Silas's.
Oh yeah. Did you get her ticket?
I gave her the link for free tickets and
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. Way to help her.
I didn't have my ticket guy this
Here's
weekend, so I tried.
You have your ticket guy?
Mm-mm.
What's a ticket guy?
Ticket guy is a guy who puts aside tickets and does
all
that.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's out of town this week, so oh. I just sent her the link.
Oh.
So,
yeah. Well,
it's
maybe.
A very technical aspect
man,
of this podcast.
You ruined my, I was trying to look gangster, like, oh, right. Just talk to Manny.
I know, I'm sorry. I wanted to make
and
it.
And you're
work.
Like, oh, no. Here's a link. Like, ah.
Like, I don't have my ticket scalper.
Yeah.
Out of town, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's a link.
Ugh.
Yeah, she's Stephanie Nussbaum.
Awesome.
She's putting it on, and it's gonna be all the money goes to Fred Hutchinson.
That's awesome.
And Matt's gonna be on
Fred's
the show.
A good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
You could you had cancer?
Me?
What was it? Yeah.
No. Well,
just in your life.
In my life?
Yeah.
In my life, personally,
like, no, like you're in your.
Oh
life.
Yeah, well, like most of my family has had cancer at some point, so
yeah.
I got that to look forward to.
Yeah, I know, right? Same here. I'm like, oh,
do you go to the doctor?
My grandpa had prostate cancer, and my grandma had multiple kinds of cancer that you know she ended up she ended up dying after a broken hip.
Mm.
I mean, with all the stuff that she bought,
right.
Like, to have
yeah.
that be the thing was crazy, but yeah, that's all I can think of. Oh, but I think my mom had cervical cancer. My other grandma had cervical cancer. Yeah, my grandma.
Are you worried about getting cervical cancer?
I am worried about cervical cancer. Mm-hmm. My cervix gets tender now and then. but my biological grandma died like a year before I was born with stomach cancer. It was like a
wow.
brutal thing. Yeah. So.
So do you get tested for it? Or do you,
cancer?
Yeah.
They go
I mean,
in and
do you
like,
go in and get mammograms? What do you do?
No.
Like,
I have had a mammogram, actually. It's a funny story, actually. because I had a lump on my chest,
mm-hmm.
in my boob. And I had to go in and actually do. So now I know like what women go through, and it sucks. It's
scary.
Like, it sucks, and it's like hard because they, you know. They,
oh, they clamp
have
it
to,
down.
Like, clamp it and like flatten it. And it's like, ooh. You know, I mean, like I've got a little bit. Like right
yeah.
now, so like it wouldn't
yeah.
be so bad right now, but at the time I was like,
well,
you know
smaller?
Skinny, so like, it's, like trying to cram this little
oh.
bit, it was painful.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, it turns out I was just fat, so
oh.
it's okay.
Oh,
that's like,
good.
It was
diagnosed fat.
Well, it's called a fatty tumor, which is
oh,
it's
okay.
like where fat cells like clump together and get really hard. It's just a benign
Ooh.
Tumor.
What did it
oh,
feel
okay.
like?
So it just felt like a hard lump.
Oh.
In my boob, my
oh.
breastises.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was just pecs.
Yeah. Like, I've been trying to do push-ups every night. I don't know if it's...
So did you, I mean, but not that they tell, but are, do you, like, do you think about that when you're dieting and everything? Like, and you're eating that, like, oh, I have a high risk for cancer? So I'm
oh, yeah. Now, well, that's, like pretty much, I mean, for a while now, like, I don't eat sugar, like, ever. And that's one of the things that cancer feeds on is sugar
really?
And sweet. And so, like, having a
Isn't
diet.
Isn't there sugar in beer?
Yeah, well, there's that.
Well, and in bread,
but,
too, right?
But, yeah, in bread. So, I'm not strict on it, but I've been getting back on it because I'm trying to lose a little more weight. But, right now I'm kind of being strict about it. But it's, you know, I try to, you know, vegetables, proteins, and,
yeah.
Like, healthy fats, and, which is also conducive to, you know, anti-cancer
mm-hmm.
because like they can't they say you know if you have a lot of like high blood sugar and stuff cancer like feeds off of
wow
blood sugar so it's like that's one of the things they always tell you like when you're in chemo and stuff like that like not to eat a lot of sweets, but you crave them like crazy.
Man.
But
I got to really work on. I mean, like, and fish is good for you too, right?
Fish?
Like omegas?
Yeah. Minus, like, the mercury.
Yeah. Exactly right. What's wrong with
I always feel like Manny knows, like, he knows part of the info because he, like, he watches Dateline, but he's, like, on his phone.
Oh, at the same time, like, ADD like a motherfucker. It's crazy.
I was like, oh, I'm supposed to eat, like, fish. Yeah. So I think I need to go down on somebody.
Dude, yeah. Like, it's crazy. Like,
that's what I got out of that.
There's a new show, if you have On Demand, like, with Comcast Watch. It's called Futurescape. Amazing. Watching some of the, like, new things that they're talking about. I mean, they're talking about learning how to cut off telomeres on genes so that people don't age. They're talking about different ways to, like, cure cancers. It's pretty revolutionary
stuff.
Hey,
we can do that aging thing now.
Right.
To stop
just
me
be
now.
Good, right?
Well, I look young. Younger than I am.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
I think the keys to be, like, part Asian.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like, Asian and black. If you have an Asian black kid, they will never age. It'll be amazing.
It's
honey,
crazy.
I need an Asian.
Like, oh, I'm 60. Like, I thought you were 30 years old.
Right. Sung, like, Lam is 73 years old. Sung, what the fuck, man? He's like, yeah, I'm good. So,
have you had a cancer scare ever? Have you had any?
No, but, you know, it's like, I do need to eat better. I just, you know, you worry about that. I'm a lot like Matt, you know what I mean? I have, like, a lot of my family, they've had cancer, you know, just crazy, but it's like aunts, uncles, grandparents, and, you know, a lot of them smoked, you know, stuff like that, so. But, yeah, man, it's scary thinking about it. I mean, you start thinking about, man, I have eaten horrible. Is my asshole going to fall off at some point? You know what I mean? It's like, and, I think there just needs to be probably more of a focus on vegetables. There's just too much processed shit nowadays, you know? So.
And it's delicious.
It is, isn't it? Oh, my God. I would rather go to McDonald's than eat a whole – well, I just ate a salad before I got here.
Well, I'm at the point – I mean, you'll hit the age. Because at 30, I, like, things started packing on. But it wasn't until, like, 35 that I started, like, I'd go to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And then after, go, oh, man, what happened to me?
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Dude, yeah.
Like, and then you just – I keep going back. They're like, well, this time that- I'll just –
yeah.
Look, I'm not getting a Big Mac, so this will be cool.
That feeling of just being full is just like, you're like, God damn, I just, like, and you didn't even eat that much. And you're just like, did I overindulge again?
Driving around has killed that.
Oh,
God. It's horrible.
Well, that's the thing is, like, the one thing that really fucked me over is I have an office job now, so I don't get up and move around as much as I used to at my old job. So you really got to try to go to the gym at least, what, 4 times a week? And I'm just like, fuck, I got to get to this comedy show afterwards. And, you know, you get up at 6 in the morning, and then you're not getting to bed till, like, almost 1. Just like, you can't do that. I mean, especially, you know, you got to sleep too to try to kill cancer, you know, and stuff. So,
I'm working.
Did you read that somewhere?
I did.
Did you got to sleep too to kill cancer?
No, I mean, you know, like, your body repairs itself when you sleep, so you need to get at least 8-9 hours. So,
I really want to know how much of that is true and how much she was Angry Birds.
Right. It just
Candy
comes
Crush.
Up on
the... I think they said I need to sleep through cancer.
They say I gotta sleep.
If you're always asleep, you'll never get cancer.
Exactly.
I think I read that. It's on Discovery.
Yeah. I think. So watch it. Everything I said on this be true. People are fact checking when you listen to this shit. Fact check everything I said.
Candy Crush.
Play Angry Birds and it lowers your risk for cancer.
Exactly.
That's what I heard.
Touch yourself 3 times. That's disgusting. Sorry.
All
right. I like the face silence this game. He's like, that's crazy. He's like, all right.
All right. So check you out March 1st, the Everett Historic Theater.
Yeah, March 1st.
Go to drheckle.com, right?
Yeah, .com, .net, .org. I got them all. I got some.
Who types
I got some
if
all.
I have to type in .net, I'm not going to the website.
Like that. And then
that's why I have all three. So
yeah, Facebook too, right? Facebook page?
Yeah, Facebook slash Dr. Heckle, Twitter slash Dr. Heckle.
Awesome.
Yeah, all connected. Comedian Ed Hill and I are going on, we're starting a tour in May. Nice. We're going all the way down the West Coast, could be as far east as Texas and Kentucky. So
Ed'll be here in February, end of February for 15 Coins.
Oh, is he?
Nice. Cool. Ed Hizzle.
Yeah. Headlining. Yeah, our first Asian.
Dude. Wow.
I think.
You didn't even have Sung yet?
No.
Yeah, I think his phone got disconnected or something.
Maybe. I was trying to hire him to do a website. And he didn't have to return my call, so.
Asians.
Like,
and Ed is actually 86, so.
Yeah. Aged very well, Ed. Mm-hmm. You look like you could be no more than 20. It's amazing.
So yeah, looking forward to that.
Yep.
Check him out. We'll have more episodes up.
Definitely.
Actually.
And we have hopefully a big project coming up this year, so stay tuned.
It
will be a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right.
Black and a half.
Wow, we messed that up.
Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by.